Moses, Ramesses.
You grew up together, close as brothers. Keep each other safe. Always.
You know something's wrong. You've always felt it.
Your parents never told you the truth.
What truth?
The year of your birth, there was a prophecy that our leader would be born to liberate us.
That leader is you, Moses.
Hi everybody, it's been a 007 back for a 10-minute movie review today of Exodus, God and Kings, which has been out for a little while. An inevitable Christmas release, I guess, given its biblical topic. And given that it is based on an incredibly well-known biblical story, spoilers replete in this review. I have to say that I look forward to any new Ridley Scott movie because I always think they're going to be spectacular in their visuals, if not necessarily in their artistic quota. And this movie was actually even a disappointment on that because it doesn't feel like one coherent story, but rather a sort of a jumbling together of various tropes. I'm not sure if this is entirely Ridley Scott's fault. It feels like it's a product of a number of people writing the script. I think it was originally bizarrely written by the guys behind the execrable tower heist, and then it feels like it's gone through a few script doctors, of which the latest was Steve Zalian, who wrote Moneyball. But anyway, bear with me as I talk you through the movie, because I think it does fall into very distinct acts, each of which has a very different feel. So we start off in the first act of the movie, which feels a little bit like Gladiator to me. You know, in Gladiator you have the setup of the dying king, who has this petulant, paranoid son and would far rather that he could hand over rule to his preferred general. And it's very similar here. You've got the dying pharaoh, played actually with magisterial ease by John Turturro. And he has this sort of very jealous, power-hungry son, played by Joel Edgerton, who's all shaven and gold-painted, like a character out of 300. The preferred general, the Russell Crowe character in this case, is Moses, the general played by Christian Bale. And I have to say that this section is, to me, the most satisfying of the film because it sets up very well this combative relationship between the two brothers. And we also have Ben Mendelsohn in a small role as the sort of effete toady who reveals to Moses himself that he is in fact Jewish rather than a prince of Egypt, which causes, of course, the crisis and results in him being exiled into the desert. But the principal reason why this act is so satisfying is not only do you have this emotional clash between the two brothers, but it feels like a biblical epic. You have this wonderful, luxurious costume design and all the jewels of the pharaohs, and with CGI used to such great effect to really bring us into what it must have been like to be in Memphis or Egypt at the time of the great building of the pyramids and the great monuments that today we see as these sort of very arid historical monuments. But here they're in all their colour and splendour, and I found that just absolutely wondrous to behold. Sadly, the movie really loses pace as it goes into what I will call its Godfather second act. And I don't mean that sadly as a compliment. The second act of this film is deeply, deeply done. It follows Moses into the desert where he is exiled for 9 years, and boy does it feel like 9 years. And just like Michael Corleone in Sicily, he marries a sort of a bumble country girl, and he just becomes a shepherd, right? And it's very, very slow paced. And in perhaps the only truly creative moment of the film, Ridley Scott chooses to portray God as a small, intense little boy. And I thought this worked incredibly well, actually. It's daring. I wonder if it might be offensive to some people. But it works because the actor playing that little boy is so intense and commanding. I mean, he gives me chills. But also because, and this may well just be me, I've always seen the Old Testament God as rather jealous and petulant and demanding and short of attention. And that does rather remind me of a small little boy. And then we move into the third act of the film, which is Moses, Christian Bale going back into Egypt to free the Hebrew slaves. And it's really bizarre because it starts off as a kind of 18 MacGyver kind of montage training video, as Moses is going to lead this insurgency against Ramses, trying to force him to flee the slaves. So he's training his fellow slaves how to shoot arrows and whatnot. But obviously this insurgency, Hunger Games style, doesn't quite work. And then the movie turns into Lake Placid as the vengeful little god decides to unleash the plagues on Egypt. And basically, God turns out to be the first ever horror movie director. The CGI effects, as you'd imagine, are absolutely spectacular. And I'm sure when you're seeing the plague of locusts running and the frogs and whatnot, it would be worth seeing this movie in 3D. I actually saw it in 2D and it was still pretty spectacular. Although the CGI horror is so overdone in a way, it becomes surreal rather than truly affecting. And that matters when you get to the final plague, because that has to have an emotional cost to it. And in fact, for me, it became a bit like watching the Scott Pilgrim movie where, you know, he has to kind of slay the evil ex-boyfriends. And you start counting down on your fingers, like, how many more plagues have we got to get through before we actually get to one that's going to have an emotional heft to it. But anyway, we get through this third act of the film. The plagues have happened, and the Pharaoh in his sadness has allowed the slaves to leave Egypt. So Moses leads the people out, but of course Pharaoh then becomes vengeful and decides to follow them hot on their trail. And I actually think that this particular part of the movie was, for me, in a way, the most satisfying, because you see Moses in conflict with God in a way. He has been alienated from God by the lengths to which God has gone in that final plague, and is trying to turn to him for help, but becomes literally, I think, spiritually lost, and ends up leading his people to the shores of the Red Sea. And of course, this great moment of anguish as he's like, well, what am I going to do now? They followed me, they've trusted me, and I've led them to basically having an army at their back and an uncrossable sea in front of them. The resolution of that is deeply emotional. I think Christian Bale actually does a really good job here of showing the vulnerability and the conflict within Moses. And I think Ridley Scott does a good job, because in showing the parting of the Red Sea, it's not that kind of Charlton Heston, I bang my staff to the sand and the waves come up into vertical walls and let me pass, magisterial moment. In fact, it's a much more subtle, much more, in a way, a more credible, believable way in which it happens, where the waters recede and the people pass, but all the time with Ramses and the army coming bearing down on them at the back. And we only truly get that biblical epic CGI impact of the sea's parting when that confrontation happens. I think I needed more from that final confrontation between Moses and Ramses, which probably logistically couldn't happen, right? Because they're in the middle of the Red Sea with the waters bearing down on them. But having spent so much of the first act of this movie setting it up as a complex psychodrama of these two brothers, former brothers, being pitted against each other, I felt I needed maybe some recognition of what had happened to the Pharaoh's child, or I'm not sure, but something in that. Instead, we get this bizarre denouement, this bizarre sort of final closing piece of the movie, which has this reunion of Moses and Mrs. Moses, which just felt very kind of tonally weird after what had come before, and kind of very Hollywood, like we need to have a love interest maybe. And then we get this kind of, again, bizarre coda where something that should be monumental, which is, you know, God dictating the Ten Commandments to Moses as he's etching them into the tablets, passing very quickly, and then Moses riding off in with the Ark of the Covenant, effectively, into old age. And there are hints at something very interesting underneath. You know, there are conversations between Moses and Joshua, played by Aaron Paul of Breaking Bad fame, which hint at the strife that's to come ahead, and yet there isn't room for that in this film. And I just find it a shame that we wasted so much time with Moses and Mrs. Moses in the Godfather act, and we didn't get enough time with Moses and Joshua and all this interesting other far more political and religious content that we could have explored. So overall, I mean, it's not that I didn't enjoy Exodus, Gods and Kings. It's not a cohesive good film. It's not a bad film. It's a film of many parts, some of which don't tonally quite go together. And I suspect that, you know, normally you say when you have a really long 2.5 hour film that there's a really great 90-minute film waiting to get out. But I suspect that this movie probably could have been two very effective 2 hour movies, maybe. And I'm sure, given that this is Ridley Scott, we'll end up with some kind of, you know, director's extended edition, which fills in maybe some of that relationship between Moses and Joshua, and maybe actually gives Sigourney Weaver as Ramsay's mother more than the one line she gets. Although, my goodness, she could have toned down that very broad American accent to be more in keeping with the other actors in the film. That was very jarring indeed. So overall, a qualified thumbs up for this film. It's very tricky, it's very long. There are spectacular visuals of Egypt, But again, there's a lot of very slow-paced weirdness that goes on as well. So if you've seen Exodus Gods and Kings and agree or disagree with my take, please feel free to leave a comment on the blog at beena007.com. And with that, the further details on running time and release dates will be after the outro music. God is a real estate developer with offices around the nation. They say one day he'll liquidate his holdings up online. I say it's all speculation. Exodus Gods and Kings has a running time of 150 minutes and is rated PG-13. The movie's on release everywhere except Egypt, where it opens on New Year's Eve. Azerbaijan, Colombia, Costa Rica, Kazakhstan, New Zealand, Russia, Ukraine and Uruguay, where it opens on New Year's Day. Ecuador on January 2nd, Bolivia and Peru on January the 8th, Poland and Venezuela on January the 9th, Italy on January the 15th and Japan on January 30th. Thank you for listening.